Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, the coaching change at Nebraska stole the headlines earlier this week. Former Husker standout Mickey Joseph takes over on an interim basis for Scott Frost. Here's some of Joseph's comments earlier this week. Joining us now with a little more perspective is Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com. Robin, thanks for joining us here on Big Sports Radio. When we closed out our show last week, we were planning to reach out to you this week, thinking, you know, maybe Scott Frost could save his job with a win over Oklahoma this week. A surprising turn of events, to be sure.
Yeah, you weren't the only one that was a bit surprised what this week has been. Obviously, there was some concerns and a lot of questions about the way the first two games had gone. Obviously, going out all the way to Ireland and blowing two 11-point leads in the manner that they did against a division opponent got the season off to a pretty ugly start and really kind of set the tone, just like last year when Nebraska went to Illinois. That was a must-win game for them, and they were never able to recover from that loss. And so this was a very similar situation. We're like, okay, here we go again. Well, at least last year, they went and won their two bye games and were able to just kind of get back on track a little bit going into Oklahoma when they went to Norman. Well, they were – it was a one-score game with about 6.5 minutes left against – an FCS opponent in North Dakota at home. And then the next week they give up almost 650 yards and 45 points to a Georgia Southern school in a first year of a brand new offense. And so you want to say it's like rock bottom, but it is about that. That game that night was about as low of a point that this program has seen in a long, long time. And that's saying something, because there's been some really ugly points along the way here in the last couple decades. And so that changed the conversation a little bit to where, you know, I think going into Saturday night, the thought was that, you know, obviously they spent all this last year kind of reworking Scott Frost's contract, changing the buyout, doing all these offensive overhauls to, you know, save some money. You know, on October 1st, he was due to have a $15 million buyout. It dropped to $7.5 million. And so, you know, a considerable amount of money there that if you wait a few more weeks, you get to get a pretty nice coupon. Well, things got to the point in athletic director Trev Albert's mind that there was no more time to wait. They couldn't push this thing off any longer. They had to be proactive, not just for the team to kind of at least keep some semblance of hope. I'm still trying to get to a bowl game for the first time since 2016, but for the fan base. You know, the fans have been through a lot. They've, you know, went 12,000 strong out to Ireland to go watch them play a game. And this is what they've been rewarded with through the first 3 weeks of the season. So if they would have just tried to kept this thing going, you know, presumably get housed by Oklahoma and then, you know, got Indiana come to town on October 1st, you know, that could really test the patience of the fan base. And so they decided to be proactive with it and make a change now. They promoted Mickey Joseph, who has been here since January, I believe, as the interim head coach, just to try to breathe some life back into the program. And, you know, I guess it's done about as well in that regard as you could expect over the first few days. We'll see what happens on Saturday and how much that change still has a positive impact. But yeah, crazy few days. I don't think the fact that Frost was fired was any surprise whatsoever. But the how quickly the calendar on that got turned up to where 3 games into the season, You're getting rid of a head coach. And honestly, I can't remember the last time, if ever, Nebraska has ever fired a football coach during the season.
Robin, I never feel bad for a guy who gets a $15 million payday.
You know, he'll be okay. Like,
he'll probably be okay. But I don't know what went wrong for him. I mean, it's really hard to pick for me. I mean, this was like the home run hire when he was hired. This is a guy who a guy who graduated, an alumnus who had been extremely successful, obviously known for, you know, being a, you know, really organized guy, being an excellent head coach at a lower level. And he's recruited fairly well, but yet somehow it hasn't worked out. What went wrong?
Well, I mean, just go back to year one, where his very first game gets canceled by a lightning storm, and it's against Akron. And so, I mean, like, literally before they even played it down, things were already off to a rough start. And, you know, obviously they had to jump right into the Colorado game that next week, and they lost to Colorado. Adrian Martinez gets dinged up. And so, you know, it was just one of those deals where right out of the gates, this was difficult. And then they, you know, with recruiting, yeah, they look good on paper, but they had a lot of misses. The retention of some of those classes is really bad, especially at the skill positions. And then, in my opinion, the biggest issue of all, especially in the Big Ten Conference, was the lack of development on the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball, probably more so on the offensive line. They've just been so bad up front that didn't matter who their quarterback was or, you know, revolving door they've had a running back and wide receiver, they haven't been able to block anybody. And so the quarterback has constantly been running for his life. They haven't been able to run the ball with any sort of consistency, and so that's really put them behind the eight ball as far as what this offense was supposed to be. The reason he was hired here was he was regarded as one of the top offensive minds in the country. He was coming off an undefeated season at Central Florida, one of the most dramatic turnarounds in the history of the sport, going from 0-12 to 13-0. And he was the national coach of the year. Like, everybody lauded this as, like you said, the can't miss, no brainer hire, that there was zero doubt Nebraska football was in good hands, is what was going to be back very quickly. Right out of the gates, like I said, they stumbled with getting the first game canceled. They started 0-6 that first season. And to their credit, they responded well. I think they went, 4-1 or something like that, 4-2 over their last six games on that season. So there was optimism. You know, they had Adrian Martinez was viewed as a potential Heisman Trophy preseason watch list type guy going in that 2019 season. But once again, you know, they just got off to an ugly start and they could not recover from it. And like I said, they just had issues with poor development, too many recruiting misses, and then just not being able to close out games. They've been in position to win a lot more games than they have. And obviously last year got a lot of attention, but it's been happening since the day Scott Frost was here. You know, they've had games where they should have won and found ways to lose. So all those things combined just made for arguably the worst 4+ year period in Nebraska football history. There's been one other stretch. That was in the late 50s, right before Bob Devaney was hired, that it's ever been this bad. And so, I guess, whoever the next coach, you know, at least the bar has been set very low that you know, success to improve upon what it's been is not that hard.
This is true. Yeah, get to 7 wins and we'll build – no, not quite.
Six.
Exactly. Talking with Robin Washington here of Husker Online and about the situation with Nebraska football. That's, again, as you said, just a turmoil. To your point, Scott Frost never had a winning season. And again, 5-22 in one-loss games. To your point, these were games that you're in the game in the fourth quarter in the final 5 minutes, but you can't finish it. And that in itself would be a problem. So you move forward now with Mickey Joseph trying to right this ship and bring some stability and hopefully some wins. And what a get. Mickey, you've got the gig. Here's Oklahoma.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, so thrown right into the fire, and yeah, coming off maybe the worst defensive performance this team's ever saw. That I think Georgia Southern had 643 yards. I could be off by a couple, but it was just under 650, and that was the most an opponent has ever had in Memorial Stadium history. So I mean, it was the third most ever. So I mean, you're talking about Nebraska's had some really bad defensive performances. That was one of the worst of all time, and it was against a Sun Belt opponent, like I said, with a first-year head coach going from a triple option to an air raid, and they were able to do that. So Mickey can try to press as many buttons as he wants to try to salvage whatever the season is, but the reality is he and the rest of this staff have a lot of work to do in a very short amount of time. Obviously, Oklahoma coming to town in a nationally televised Fox Big Noon Saturday game. That's a difficult start. And then you're jumping right into conference play right after that. So time is not on their side. They got to try to figure things out very quickly. But, you know, the flip to that is Mickey Joseph is a guy that is very much in the conversation to potentially be the next head coach here in full-time capacity. He said that that's his aspiration, what he wants to do. And he's got 9 games to prove that he's capable of being that guy. And, you know, I mean, who knows what can happen if somehow he can flip this thing and they go 7-2, 6-3 down the stretch, and go to a bowl game, maybe win a bowl. Then maybe you're going to really look at him, especially given the fact that, you know, a lot of the names out there that have been linked to Nebraska, I don't think there's a consensus. Like, we got to go get this guy. I think there's a lot of people that you kind of have to talk yourself into in ways. So, you know, if you got a guy that's in-house that already has the you know, respect and following of the players, that has salvaged what this season has started off to be, there's a lot to be said for that. So while it is a very difficult task in front of Mickey Joseph, it's also a significant opportunity for him to get his first Division I head coaching position.
Mickey Joseph also is, I believe, the first African-American head coach, not just for Nebraska football, but in any of the sports. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you define as sport, but their cheer squad, the dance team, cheerleader, all that. She's an African-American woman that has been there since like 2011. So technically, if you regard the cheer team as a sport, no, he's not the first. But as far as like the common revenue sports, yes, he's the first African-American head coach of any sport at Nebraska, which, you know, he was asked about that during his press conference on Tuesday, and he didn't really want to get into it. He said, you know what? I've always been a coach. I've always been a black coach, and I'm just worried about this team, this week, this season. So I think maybe when he steps back and all the dust settles on him, he can go kind of reflect on what that means and his place in Nebraska's history in that regard. But for now, he's got his priorities set strictly on the football field. But yeah, it's definitely notable, and that definitely caught a lot of attention this week.
I didn't want to diss the cheerleaders. But we're definitely, we don't want to anger the cheerleaders, but I'm going to go with the first African-American.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will fault you with that, but if you want to get technical about it, there is that.
But no, it's really neat to see. I mean, I think it's kind of it's kind of a good statement hire too. I mean, that they're, you know, willing to do that. And I think, you know, so he's got an opportunity there in front of him. I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. And like you said, if he gives up under 600 yards this weekend, it'll be an improvement. So it's all relative, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what's funny is I think after Frost was fired, the point spread jumped like up over 13, I think. And then once Mickey was announced as the interim, it shot back up down to like 11. So his hiring was apparently worth 2 points in the eyes of Vegas. So already off to a pretty good start. Improvement is already being made without having ever coached a game yet.
That's impressive. When you can move the line just by your announcement, yeah. You should, you know, keep that clipping right for the scrapbook. Got just a couple of minutes here. I do want to talk about as well the other Nebraska team that's just making huge headlines. The volleyball team began the season number one, and then no fault of their own dropped because Texas went and beat Ohio State. The Huskers are looking really good right now as volleyball gets ready to hit into conference play.
Yeah, they just had their first loss of the season last night when number 9 Stanford came to town. That was a huge win for them. And I don't know what it is, but Stanford's always kind of had Nebraska's number. I'm going back to the NCAA tournament meetings and whatnot. But so they kind of got humbled for the first time. They were just coming off a huge match in Omaha against Creighton, who has built themselves into a top 25 program. And that thing went all the way down to five sets. And it was like probably one of the most electric volleyball atmospheres you're going to find. And, you know, people make, they kind of say tongue in cheek that Nebraska is a volleyball state. Well, a night like that, in that Creighton game, kind of has some validity to it. That I think it set the record for the highest attended volleyball game, college volleyball game ever, with over 15,000 people in attendance. And I think if you go look at the all-time volleyball attendance chart nationally, I think 11 of the top 13 most attended volleyball matches were in the state of Nebraska between Nebraska home games, NCAA tournament games, and then, you know, Creighton has also had some big crowds too. So it's a real deal. Volleyball is a absolute machine here. It's funny, on Saturday, I was over checking out recruits for my football and basketball, and I noticed that volleyball just casually trots out the number one player in the 2023 class and the number one player in the 2024 class as visitors, and they're already committed. So it's like, it's unbelievable what this program has become. And so now we'll see how they respond to some adversity. You know, they've been told about how they're this titan and no one's ever going to beat them. Well, they just got beat. Stanford came in there and beat them on their home court. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to that.
That's impressive. I never thought I would see a time when I would think that the Nebraska football team is trying to follow the lead of the Nebraska volleyball team.
Absolutely.
But here we are.
I think most programs, maybe outside of like Alabama football, want to follow in the footsteps of Nebraska volleyball.
Yeah.
It's unfair the level in which they recruit.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. Hey, Robin, we are unfortunately out of time, but man, great to talk with you. And hopefully you'll find time to come back and talk with us again later on.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Appreciate that. Robin Washington joining us here on Big Sports Radio again, HuskerOnline.com, HuskerOnline.com. He's been doing great work for a long time, and we appreciate his insight here. And again, we'll have more on the Nebraska-Oklahoma game coming up a bit later on in the show. Stay with us. Quick timeout, and then much more here on Big Sports Radio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.